Hello there and welcome to the program. I'm your buddy Gary Zimek, and it's so great to be back with you once again. This week, we're going to take on the topic of healing and freedom. What is true healing? What is true freedom? We will look at the Mass readings for the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time and check in with what Jesus has to say about this. We're also going to look to the Old Testament. Look at all the readings for the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time, put them all together, and come up with this message of healing, freedom, and why it matters. So settle in. We're going to be here for the next 30 minutes, or at least I am. I certainly hope you can join with me. I said that a few minutes ago that this is we're going to look at the readings for the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. So just to sort of frame this particular weekend when it comes to the church year, we've got, after today, four more Sundays in Ordinary Time. It's really hard to believe. Four more, and then we close out the church year, the current church year, and we begin the season of Advent, which issues in the new church year. So 4 weeks from today, four more weeks after today, I should say, till we close out the church year, then we begin the season of Advent. Let's see, let me look at my trusty calendar here. Advent, I believe, is, yes, December the 1st this year. So this gives you an idea. You know, I don't like to rush things, but I like to give you an idea of where we stand. And as in the way of sort of a coming attraction, to give you some insight as to what you can expect in the weeks to come, you're going to be hearing more of an end times type message from the church. And the reason is because toward the end of the church year, Holy Mother Church wants us to be aware of the fact that our life on earth will not last forever. And one day we're going to be judged. You know, I try to keep this show as uplifting as possible, because I believe the good news really is the good news. However, I also need to give it to you straight sometimes. I'm not going to mislead you. Yes, the good news of Jesus Christ is certainly uplifting. However, we have to remember that there are times, because we have a fallen human nature, there are times we tend to maybe want to take it easy, slack off a little bit, commit a sin because we think it feels good, you know, not always pursue holiness, which requires effort. You know, I'm certainly guilty of this. And therefore, we need these reminders. And the church wants to make sure we are reminded of the fact that we're going to be judged one day at the end of our lives. And that's going to determine whether we spend eternity in heaven or hell. Again, it's a tough message, but I think it's a good message. Why? Because isn't it better to know the truth than to be surprised, right? The Lord is kind to us. He wants to let us know you're going to be judged one day. This life is a test. I will give you the grace you need to live like me, Jesus says. And he gives us the grace. He gives us the grace. All he asks is that we cooperate with that grace, take advantage of the sacraments, right? And try to fight against our desire to sin. And when we do sin, we go to the sacrament of confession. So it's not a one and done proposition. You commit a sin and that's it. You're going to hell. No, the Lord is kind. He's merciful. And that is good news. At least I think it's good news. So toward the end of the church year, the church, in her wisdom, and I'll tell you what, she's a lot smarter than I am. The church wants to make sure that you and I recognize this life's coming to an end, and to have a sense of urgency about reforming our ways, repenting, right? You hear more of that during Lent. You'll hear some of it during Advent, though. Changing our ways, recognizing those areas where maybe we have strayed, and then while we still have time, do something about it. Turn back to the Lord. So it is good news. Some people get freaked out about these end times messages. I don't, because I think it is a good reminder. I live in South Jersey. I live in right around the Philadelphia, PA. And around here in the Northeast, we have fall, we have winter, we have the seasons. So in some areas, I realize the seasons are not as pronounced as they are here in the Northeast. But for me, the church year sort of operates in sync with the actual the natural year, or the cycle of seasons through nature, if you want to call it that. You know, right now we're in fall, we're heading into winter, and it's a reminder for me that my life's coming to an end. And I don't say this in a morbid way. I don't mean it in a morbid way. I need this reminder because I could easily put things off until tomorrow. That I have that tendency. I tend to be a procrastinator. But we never know. We just never know if we're going to be here tomorrow. So we want to make the most of this day. Man, I didn't expect to say all this. I just expected to say hello and welcome to the show. Oh, man, before I get myself into trouble, I was just talking about where we are in the liturgical year. And look what happened. But I always ask the Holy Spirit to lead me when I do these programs. So I'm just going to trust that the Spirit was leading me. Before I say much else, though, I want to formally turn to our Father in prayer and ask for the grace that I need to do the best show possible, and so that all of our minds can be open to the message that God has for us today. So if you will join me, let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for being present with me. Thank you with us. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of allowing me to do this program. I very much want to deliver your message this day, Father. You know my heart. You know that's what I want. You also know that I have a tendency to deviate from that message if you don't help me. So I'm going to ask for your help. Help me to deliver the message that you have for all of us today, Father. We're going to be talking about healing and freedom. And I need your wisdom to give me the words, direct my thoughts and my words so that I can speak your message today. Thank you for making the scriptures available to us so that we can hear your inspired words throughout this program. Father, we pray for all of our needs. We pray for our friends, our family. We pray for those who are suffering today. We pray for all those who are homeless or homebound. We pray for anyone who is impacted by weather-related conditions. We pray for those who are struggling financially. We pray for those who are living in extreme poverty. We pray for those who are surrounded by violence and terrorism, those who are persecuted for their religious beliefs. We pray for all who are looking for work, especially those who are currently unemployed. We pray for our church. We pray for peace in our country, the United States, and in the world. We pray for positive results in the election, the upcoming election in the United States. Going to leave that one in your hands, Father. We'll do our part. We'll vote, but we're going to depend on you to provide the outcome. We ask that it be favorable in your eyes. We also pray for the souls in purgatory. We pray for anybody who is struggling to find meaning in life. Father God, we ask these things in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. And by the way, Father, I think I forgot to add this. I want to pray that you give me the words. I think I did say that, but I just want to make sure. I don't want to mess this up. Give me the words, and please open all of our minds and our hearts to hear your message today. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I was wrapping up the prayer, you know, sometimes I get into the prayer, and I kind of forget what I say. I say it, I mean it, and then I move on. And I thought, oh my gosh, did I forget to ask for the grace to do a good job on the show? I'm not trying to be overly scrupulous about this, but I need help. And I really want to do God's will when it comes to this show. So now I'm covered. Now I can relax. Phew. Thank you for joining me. Again, my name is Gary Zimek. It's a pleasure to be with you here. I was trying to think of how many years I've done this show. I've done so many different formats for this program. I've done the weekly show. I've done a daily podcast. I've done a 15-minute daily podcast, a 30-minute one, a one-hour one. Once, several years ago, for a couple years, I think, I was doing 1 hour each day. I look back and I thought, man, that's a lot of work. But then my speaking got more more demanding. I did more speaking work, did more writing, and I backed off from the daily podcast. Right now, we're doing this 30-minute show once each week, and I'm grateful to you for listening. I'm grateful to all the Catholic radio stations who carry the program, and I'm grateful to the podcast services that provide it in podcast form. So thank you, everyone. followingthetruth.com is my website. If you want to find out more about my work, maybe find out how to book me as a speaker, you can do that at followingthetruth.com. You can also sign up for my daily email reflection. I call it Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. It's totally free of charge. You do that just by providing your email address, and you will hear from me once each day. Stay tuned. Very shortly, you're going to be hearing a lot more about my newest book. It's called Find Peace in Advent. And you can order it now. You can order it from Ave Maria Press, the publisher, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, any of your online booksellers. You can get the book right now. We will be talking about it as we get closer. It is a daily Advent devotional. So if you're looking for a book with concise, very easy to read, in that it's only going to take a couple minutes each day, a book to help you really appreciate the Advent season and prepare, help you to prepare to meet Jesus, I strongly recommend my book, Find Peace in Advent. We're going to be talking more about it as we get closer. And as always, any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. All right, today we're going to talk about healing and freedom as we open our Bible and look at the Mass readings for the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. If you've been listening for a while, you know that I always lead off with the gospel. If you're a new listener, I always lead off the gospel with the gospel. And the reason I do that is because the church upholds or the gospel as the highest. All scripture is inspired by God, but the church attributes a special place of prominence to the gospels because it's through the gospels that we find out and get to know Jesus Christ. So the gospel, I believe, really does deserve this place of prominence. I'm just going along with what the church does. And if we look at the gospel, we'll see that each week, the first reading of the responsorial psalm are chosen, at least in ordinary time. This will change during Advent, during Lent, during Easter. It's a little bit different. But during ordinary time, the first reading and the responsorial psalm are chosen specifically to back up the gospel. So the gospel really does lead the way, and the other readings play a support role. And that's why I believe we start with the gospel, and then we back up and look at the other readings and find the connection. So with that in mind, let's look at Mark's gospel, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. And just to give you an idea, none of these readings are especially long today. For the purposes of the radio show, I like the shorter readings. If they're too long, it gets a little difficult for radio to present them in an audio format. But so they're kind of short, they're manageable today. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up. Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, he sprang up, and he came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." And Jesus told him, "Go your way, your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. You know, like we can focus exclusively on the miraculous healing of the blind man. It's pretty impressive. And maybe you're in a position where you are praying for some sort of a miraculous healing. You can certainly find hope in this gospel. Jesus can heal any infirmity, including blindness. But, you know, if we look in a broader sense, there's no doubt a miraculous healing takes place here. But there's, I think, when I pray about these readings, when I look at them and ask the Lord for the guidance to talk about them, I see a bigger picture here. This man is sitting begging. He calls out to Jesus. And so he's incapable of earning a living, which is a problem. So he's a beggar because he's blind. But he knew somehow, he had faith enough in Jesus to realize that Jesus could help him somehow. Even though, what did the crowd do? The crowd tried to get him to be quiet. Bartimaeus, be quiet. Shh, stop it. But he didn't stop it. His faith and his passion for healing was so strong that he didn't care what the people said. He kept calling out to Jesus. And what happened? Jesus heard him. And then the people said, oh, wait, he's calling you. Get up. So the blind man gets, it's funny how the crowd turns so quickly, isn't it? He jumps up. He gets up to Jesus, brings up, comes to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, well, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, it almost seems like a no-brainer. Like, why did he have to ask that? Well, for one thing, I mean, certainly Jesus knew. He could read people's hearts. But I think it helps you and I to understand what this guy was looking for. He was a beggar. He needed money. He could have asked Jesus for money. Hey, look, I need money to live. He didn't. He said, I want to see. And we could look at this and say, well, that's a noble request. He's praying to be able to see. It's a lot more comfortable to go through life being able to see than going through life blind. But I think there's more to this story. First of all, we see that he has faith in Jesus, that Jesus can heal him. And that's pretty inspiring. And then he said to Jesus, here's what I want. I don't want money. I want to see. And Jesus told him, go your way. What is he doing for him? Go your way. Your faith has saved you. So because he had faith in Jesus, and we could think like, okay, well, I'm praying for an intention and I'm kind of nervous about it. So maybe my faith isn't that good. No, listen, if you're praying, you're exercising your faith. That's the kind of faith Jesus is looking for. Is he looking for us to have confidence in him? Yeah. But what really matters is your faith. And when you pray, you're exercising your faith. So don't be hard on yourself. If you're praying, you're asking for that healing, no matter how you feel, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Your faith has saved you. And what happened next? Immediately, the man received his sight and he followed Jesus on the way. So remember I said there's a bigger picture here? The man's lack of sight was not only preventing him from earning a living, it was preventing him from being able to follow Jesus, his blindness. And we can look at it in a general sense. So many of us are blind. We don't know what we're supposed to do. We navigate each day of life trying to do God's will, but we need some help. So the church, Jesus through the church, takes away our blindness and gives us the way forward. The church helps take away our blindness and enables us to see. We could look at it on that level. But on a somewhat more simpler level, we have a man who could not follow Jesus because he was blind, who asked to be able to see. And then what did he do? He took that gift that he received from Jesus and he turned it around and he used that gift and followed Jesus. In other words, he just didn't waste his eyesight and go out and start making money. He was now able to follow Jesus because this impediment, this obstacle was removed. So we see a healing. And so many times I think we can all look at our lives and realize that there's something stopping us from following Jesus. And it might not be a physical matter at all. We might have mortal sin on our soul. We might have done something really, you know, bad and we need forgiveness. We can receive that healing through the sacrament of confession, which restores us, puts us back in good graces with the Lord, and enables us to follow him again. You know, so we can look at this from so many different angles. We all stand in need of some kind of a healing. It may not be a physical healing. It may be an emotional healing. It may be a spiritual healing. Let's go to Jesus today, mainly through the sacrament of confession. If it involves a sin, don't carry the sin around. It's going to cause you all kinds of stress and be a burden. Go to Jesus and be unburdened through that sacrament of confession. Let me get to the first reading now. We'll talk about being set free, healing and freedom. Because when we are healed, again, we can be healed in a number of different ways. It could be physical. But honestly, the most important healing we can receive is a spiritual healing. the kind that takes place at the sacrament of confession, because every physical healing is temporary. We're going to die anyway, even if we're healed. But a spiritual healing, the kind that takes place through the Lord's mercy in the sacrament of confession, that enables us to be able to live eternally, forever in heaven, right? You get rid of that mortal sin, and at that moment in time, you're in good shape. You're able at that point again, if you died at that point in time, or shortly thereafter, depending on what else happens, you could possibly make it to heaven. You might have to spend some time in purgatory. It gets a little complicated, but you're not going to live forever in hell, which is a good thing. So confession is huge. Jeremiah 31, verses 7 through 9 is the first reading. Thus says the Lord, shout with joy for Jacob, exult at the head of the nations, proclaim your praise and say, the Lord has delivered his people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them back from the land of the north. I will gather them from the ends of the world, with the blind and the lame in their midst, the mothers and those with child. They shall return as an immense throng. They departed in tears, but I will console them and guide them. I will lead them to brooks of water on a level road so that none shall stumble. For I am a father to Israel. Ephraim is my firstborn. And this, you know, this symbolism here, Jeremiah's writing about the Jews who have been exiled, who have been enslaved, who have been held captive by the Babylonians. They are now free. The Lord is delivering his people, and they are able to return to their homeland. And, you know, we can look at that in a sense and see what takes place when we are set free and we are healed. I'm going to stick with the confession theme. Through the sacrament of confession, I'm going to encourage you to go to confession as soon as possible. You know, it doesn't have to be a mortal sin. I try to go frequently so that I can become more Christ-like. I can't do it on my own. I need grace. And in addition to receiving absolution when you go to confession, you also receive the grace to help you not commit your favorite sins. So it makes it easier to live a holy life when you go to confession. It's a good thing. And the type of healing we receive through confession last forever. And I mean forever, forever, eternity forever. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 126, the Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. Well, yeah. Ultimately, what did Jesus do? He came, he redeemed us on the cross. He opened up the gates of heaven and he made it possible for us through the grace poured out through the sacraments to live in forever in heaven. You talk about great things. That's a great thing. When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like men dreaming. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with rejoicing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad indeed. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert. Those that sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. We have been healed. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's look at the second reading. It's a reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Brothers and sisters, every high priest is taken from among men and made their representative before God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal patiently with the ignorant and erring, for he himself is beset by weakness, and so, for this reason, must make sin offerings for himself as well as for the people. No one takes this honor upon himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, it was not Christ who glorified himself in becoming high priest, but rather the one who said to him, you are my son, this day I have begotten you. Just as he says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ, the ultimate high priest, the one true high priest, intercedes for you and me before the Father, and he obtains for us, through his suffering and death on the cross, the grace to be able to live forever with him in heaven. I mean, ultimately, that's what's happening. That is the best possible healing that you and I can ever receive. We might, you know, we might be focused on the physical healing, but again, and it could be important. That could really open up so many doors for us and can really be life-changing in a positive way. So, yeah, absolutely, pray for physical healings. I would not discourage you from doing that. But understand that the greatest of all healings is a spiritual healing. And that's why the sacrament of confession is so powerful and so important. And again, I'm going to urge you to go as soon as possible and make a conscious decision to go as frequently as you can. I'm not going to give you a number. Some people have said once a month. That's a good, depending on how often you do it. You don't want to get overly scrupulous, but it really depends on you. Once a month is good. I personally like to try to go every 2 weeks. That works for me at the moment. I would encourage you, especially if it's been a long time, to just go back to confession and encounter Jesus, the great high priest, and let him heal you. And then take it from there. But I would encourage you also to get into the habit of going on a regular basis. Hey, this was fun. Honestly, when I started the show, I came up with the topic of healing and freedom. And I didn't really plan to speak about confession all that much. That's why I like to speak to the Holy Spirit before I start, or ask the Father to send me his Spirit so that he'll guide my thoughts and my words. I like to turn this program over to him because the Holy Spirit knows a lot better than I do what you and I need to hear. So praise God for that. I'm happy. I think it turned out well. This is what I felt I was supposed to talk about today. If you have questions, you can always find me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. If you would like to support my full-time ministry, I certainly could use some financial help to keep going. You can do that by going to followingthetruth.com and click on donate. You can do it securely through my website, and it's very much appreciated. You are in my prayers every day. Please pray for me and my family as well. I would really appreciate that. God willing, we're going to do this again next week, and I hope you'll be able to join me. Have a fantastic week. God bless you. Thank you. Bye-bye.